Could Kernza be a perennial favorite? I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank and listeners like you.
Coming up, origami in the garden.
I folded a lot of paper airplanes, but nobody ever called that origami.
But first, a group of Wichita area chefs spent their Earth Day last week trying out a new ingredient. Now there may be a future on their menus for a perennial little grain called Kernza. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish has more.
At a culinary school in downtown Wichita, there's a lot of mouthwatering happening over a thin grain that's smaller than a penny. We're at the National Institute for Culinary and Hospitality Education, or NICH, and the watering mouths belong to some of the city's most prominent chefs and foodies. The grain that's captured their attention is Kernza. Kernza is wheat's distant and more sustainable cousin. It's been in the U.S. since the 1930s, but it wasn't until the early aughts that the nonprofit The Land Institute in Salina developed a strain of the wheatgrass that's perennial, meaning it keeps growing year after year, even when harvested. James Bowden first saw it at the Prairie Festival in Salina around 2008.
I went on a tour of the greenhouse, and the research director at the time told me that one of these plants in this room might just save the world. And that just kind of blew my mind.
Bowden is the community engagement director for Sustain-A-Grain, which grows Kernza in McPherson and Marion counties and supplies Kernza food products. He says Kernza's staying power comes from its roots. They spread 10 feet down into the soil, preventing erosion and keeping nitrogen from leaching into the groundwater. Caring for it takes less tractor passes than wheat, which means fewer emissions as well. Early Kernza crops were planted as feed for livestock, but growers like Sustain-A-Grain are working to nurture a consumer market, which is where chefs like John Michael come in. Michael and his wife Lexi are the co-directors of NICH. They started working with Sustain-A-Grain and Kernza 5 years ago.
I call it the pre-spice grain because to me it has this lovely, very subtle, but kind of like warm spice to it, like cinnamon or nutmeg or allspice or something.
They incorporated Kernza into the NICH curriculum and bistro menu. But this year, they worked with Sustain-A-Grain to try and cultivate a larger audience. Sustain-A-Grain and NICH pulled together a group of chefs from 7 local restaurants to experiment with Kernza. The end result was a feast. Savory scones from Larcher's Market, Detroit-style pizzas from Public, Nori Kernza pasta salad from Lottie, croissants from Reverie, Japanese milk bread from Fiorito, and, from the dessert experts at Frost, Kernza ice cream served up on a Kernza waffle cone.
Shall we eat?
Josh Rathbun is the executive chef at Lottie. He says working Kernza into the foods that his customers love wasn't too difficult.
I'm personally, as a chef, more motivated by a Kansas-grown grain that's good for Kansas farmers and good for Kansas people to consume.
Several chefs said the Earth Day Challenge was a good introduction to a grain they're hoping to make a staple of their menus. Kernza already serves as an important ingredient in the pizza dough at Public, and Rathbun says the grain will make its debut on Lottie's next menu. For The Range, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
There's more of Meg's story at KMUW.org. The word origami means folding paper in Japanese, and the art focuses on making something out of almost nothing. Simple squares of paper become a soaring bird or a galloping horse. An exhibit opening this weekend at Botanica features metal sculptures inspired by origami. For this month's artworks, Torin Anderson talked with Santa Fe artists Jennifer and Kevin Box about the show.
Do you want to learn how to make a paper crane?
Did you hear that? Mom was asking her kid, do you want to learn how to make a paper crane?
Yes.
Yes. See?
All about inspiration.
They're going to go home and talk about it and get a piece of paper and play.
Kevin and Jennifer Box revel in the inspiration provided for their audience.
Well, we believe in inspiration as a revenue stream, actually. So it's not all about money, right?
They host over 12,000 people through their garden each summer. They offer paper folding instruction and give kids an extra nudge to discover the art of folding paper.
And they come out and we have a folding table set up at all times. And, you know, they'll hesitate and my team will just say, no, come sit down. You're going to fold with us. Because if you ask, they'll say no. But once they do it, they walk away and they're so proud. They, like, don't want to bend any of it. And they're like, I made this beautiful thing.
So another thing that's cool about paper folding is that it is something that every culture on Earth that has either developed on their own or adapted the technology of paper, it's a natural response to begin folding it.
Folding paper has been a lifelong pursuit for Kevin.
This is one of our first pieces as you enter the garden. This is a pretty cool one. I folded a lot of paper airplanes, but nobody ever called it origami. So this is a piece of paper dreaming of flying, this image of a blank page at the bottom, and then it takes 7 decisions to transform a blank page into a functional paper airplane. And it's like an archetype to me because a blank page is a symbol, whether you're an artist or a writer or a musician or a mathematician or an entrepreneur, we all know that feeling of standing and staring at blankness and going, okay, what am I going to make out of nothing, right?
Jennifer says this process relates well to students.
The piece is taken off with children as well, high school students. And when we do tours, we talk about it takes 7 decisions to make this piece of paper fly. What goals do you have in life? And how many steps do you need to break it down? When you break it down and you just do, you know, each step in front of the other and you just keep going, you realize it's not that big of a task if you can break it down a little bit.
This exhibit is not exclusively for students, but it's a hard subject to avoid as passing hordes of kids look up to the sculptures and see possibilities. Jennifer says this could be the inspiration they need to keep going.
Because they have chosen on our tours, they'll pick the most awkward looking piece and they're like, I think that's me right now. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Look, you'll turn into a beautiful plane and go places someday.
For The Range, I'm Torin Anderson.
Torin Anderson explores the local art scene each month. You can find more at KMUW.org. Before we go, a few words on correspondence. If there's a heaven, my version would look a lot like a little stationery shop on Mass Street in Lawrence. The store is called Wonder Fair, and it is very much a wonder. The front room has shelves full of journals, paper, and cards. A little nook upstairs features every kind of writing implement you can imagine, from delicate fountain pens to rainbow highlighters. And a large room in back stocks zines, stickers, and art supplies. I could spend hours there, maybe whole days, after which I would have bags full of goodies and a hankering to write some letters. That's when I sit down with a good pen and craft some old-fashioned snail mail. Some say it's a lost art, but all you need is the right supplies. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.